Blog Talk Radio.
Let's do it. African American Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment. This is your main man, Marvin Rohn. Coming to you live. We got Brother George in the house today. We're going to talk about the sole purpose of black educational principles. This is knowledge, education, and information. Education. It comes to you live. And as always, better love. No greater love. Say it, Luther. Better love. There's no better love than for self and kind. No greater love. Welcome, brothers and sisters. Welcome one. Welcome all to African American Empowerment Saturday. It is 365 days of education, edification for the African American community. In other words, for black people, for us, for the descendants of the African slaves. For the descendants of the indigenous Americans who were enslaved in this country. And we are identifying with our history and our legacy and our heritage, and we're reclaiming that. It's our right. Do you know your birthright? Do you know what you have rights to on this earth? And so today we're going to be talking about black educational prints and the importance of that with Brother George coming up in just a minute. But let's talk about the tenets of the NAAEA. The mission of the National African American Empowerment Association is to ensure that the needs of the African American community are met through the development of programs and services that support, inspire, motivate, and empower each member. That means you and me, your relatives, your niece, your nephews, all of the people in your family. It covers all of us. And we want to develop partnerships with existing community-based organizations, right, so we can grow together. Right, and we have to promote, we're trying to promote through the process or the concept of peace. And what is peace, you're asking? Well, it's five pillars: politics, economics, athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition, culture, and education. Those are the five pillars, are the five tenets of the African American Empowerment Association. And in order to be effective as African Americans, so think about historically how we were enslaved and we had so many restrictions, and then you go into black codes and Jim Crow, and you come up to segregation and so many rules and regulations that we have been bound with and entrenched in our minds, that we have to understand the political system. Okay, y'all can go, just go and be free, and don't know the rules and don't know the laws and how to engage. And so our efforts are to integrate ourselves for understanding the systems of law, right, and the justice system and all of those things that really matter under the political arm, understanding how the elections work and how we can educate our people on how to use our vote if we're going to live here. Now, let me be clear. If you're planning on moving back to Africa or to another country, then, I mean, work with them over there or wherever you want to go. But if you're here, we need a solid agenda that helps us, right, have the economy behind the strength to be able to use our voices and our vote or our ideas and our mindsets to help our people. And that is what we should be doing. Let's go to the next one. It's E, right? An economic agenda that understands capitalism, teach, train, and develop the understanding of capitalism and how money works. And boy, do we need it, right? We have a large economy. I think it's like the ninth largest economy in the world, and yet we're still impoverished because we don't work together. And we have to have a unified collective consciousness in order to get that done. And that's the work that we need to do. We have to understand how money works. We have to be excellent fiscal managers, right? We got to train our children on doing that. There's nothing wrong with that. We should do that. We should take pride in that, right? Next is the A, right? This is the personal piece where you have to work on yourself, right? You got to look at your diet. You got to look at the status or the state of your health in three areas: your mental health, your physical health, and your emotional health. Alongside of that is your spiritual health, right? How are you managing those levels in your life? Are you eating right? Are you sleeping good, right? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you drinking enough water, right? Are you going to the doctor? Whatever you need to do to put yourself at the optimal level of health and remain there for as long as you can, right? Because we got to stretch this thing out so we can do the work here to educate the next generation. So when it's time for us to go and we don't go prematurely, then we can be here to educate them and teach them ourselves, right? And not depend on somebody else to do it while you're gone. You got to work on staying here now. Everybody want to get off. How about staying on so you can teach the children? Okay. All right. Off my soapbox. See, relevant cultural programs like this one to really give you the encouragement and the information that you need, that we now have pride and respect in ourselves, like the mission says. And so we want to do that work to continue to produce cultural content that really gets us to think from our perspective and from our lens, that the programs and services that work for us the way that we like them, that we're comfortable with, right, that we can roll with in so many words. So we want to instill pride and a sense of integrity, dignity, and respect and love for self and kind of one another. There's nothing wrong with that within our own communities. But last is a comprehensive education that really looks at how we can do this on a day-to-day basis, where we begin to improve our communities just one day at a time. So I'm asking you to go out to www.naaea.info, info.com. Go out there, learn the website, go through. We got membership, right? Become a member. Join the NAAEA and be a part of what we're doing to help us to grow. You can do that, right? Plus, go out there. We're talking about today. Go out and purchase your Black Educational Print T-shirt and put it on and let your people see what we're going to talk about today, and then give one to your children as a gift so you can talk about that while you're having family time as well. All right, let's go over to the Stan Macklin moment. We'll be right back in just a minute. Got a great show today.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I
we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. Well, I think we fail to see how good and precious life can be. We operate so much in doom and gloom and negativity, causes us to tune out the big picture. When we're able to see how good and precious that life can be, it gives you a willingness to strive into the future. It gives you the foundational tenets to lay down for the next generation to build into their future.
So true.
But if we're always walking in doom and gloom and negativity and trying to get in to fit into somebody else's reality, that's not it. No, no, no.
No.
We are unique. Just like there's nobody on the face of this earth that has fingerprints like you, because
that's
you
right.
are unique. And when we have that unified consciousness, man, the sky's not even the limit for us. It's not. The brother said it right. We can literally create our state of heaven, and we have to walk in that. It says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to strive to see and even pray how good and precious life can be. And that gives you the opportunity to literally perpetuate happiness and joy and peace and prosperity, because things are being sustained in a sustainable way. So we got work
That's
to do.
That's so true. We got work to do.
Yes, indeed. We got work to do, brothers and sisters. We want to have healthy lives, right? Our children need to be comfortable in their lives. Our seniors need to be comfortable within their lives. Our middle agers need to be comfortable within their lives. And we have to do that work collectively to work together. So all we're saying is, let's focus on helping ourselves. just one person, one family, one individual at a time, and we have to do that work, right? There's a lot to be done, but we can do it. But it's up to us to do that work, and we're going to have to make a commitment, right? As we know, we have to cover some things. You got to cover some bills and all of that. You got to show up to work. How about taking that next step to educate yourself on your history and your culture and then sharing that information with your young people, where they can identify with us and the people who are called our own? Because, hey, we're in this together. We came over here together, found ourselves together. We've been labeled together, so we're going to have to live together. And I think if we can work out our own issues, then we'll be in a better place, a much, much better place than we found ourselves in the past. Or just last week, because it's been a terrible week for many of our young people who are now taking weapons and using them against themselves. I think that's the highest form of self-loathing and self-hatred, is to destroy yourself one individual at a time, but that's my opinion. Now let's get on with the show. It is time, brothers and sisters, for the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with my good brother George. Let's bring him in, but you know we got to bring him in right. I need y'all to rock with me. If you out here, just move with me a little bit on this. Here we go. Let's go. Let's do it. Brother George.
Bring it! What?
Come on. I see you, Brother Les.
Brother
Jackie.
Right
in the house.
Here.
All right.
Brother
George. Welcome to the show. We right
yes,
here.
Sir,
what's
brother.
Happening, brother?
Nothing much, brother. I'm, hopefully I'm ready, you know, so we'll see. Today's Kwanzaa principle is UJIMA, collective work and responsibility, to build and keep our community together, to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems, and to solve them together. And that's really what today's show is all about, the foundation. Now, with the Willie Lynch segment, I'm going to read from one of Jawanza Kajufu's book, Critical Issues in Educating African-American Youth. And he asked the question of what is black culture? He was asked the question, what is black culture? Some people believe that we don't have a culture because it was lost through slavery and acculturation, meaning getting involved with a bunch of other people's cultures. Many middle-income African-Americans associate black culture with ghetto life. I don't believe that. There's a story about a multicultural class I'd like to share with you. The teacher asked the children to return the next day in their native attire and bring a native dish of food, meaning the group that they belong to. The Hispanic, German, and Asian children did this, but the African American students didn't know what to do. They wore blue jeans and t-shirts and brought hamburgers and french fries. There is some ambiguity about what exactly is black culture. I believe there are some cultural components still within and among us. The word culture brings to mind religion, values, family structure, clothing, hairstyles, food, flag, allegiance, language, literature, music, holy days, and entertainment. If we use these as benchmarks, there are several black cultural expressions and traditions that correlate. The first area is ethos, a philosophical or worldview. In black culture, our history begins in Africa, not the United States. And it begins long before 1619, when we were first brought here. One of the world's highest civilizations was in Egypt. In terms of religion, we were the first to believe in one God. Under the leadership of Egyptian king Akhenaten, monotheism originated in Africa. We have long believed in life after death. One doesn't build temples and pyramids if one doesn't believe in life after death. This is part of our culture. And so basically, I read that because, like, that's another foundational piece as to what led me to what I'm going to speak about today. So, Brother Marvin, if you have a question of the week for me, whatever, then we can move to that category.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. Great piece again. It's so informative, right? And the segment that you do, the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment, is to bring our people more closer to the understanding of Willie Lynch and how we can educate ourselves or to reorient ourselves or to re-educate ourselves, but also the Kwanzaa segment, right? We're practicing Kwanzaa year-round, right, and educating you. So here's the question of the week, right? Ujima, right, collective work and responsibility. How do we get back to collective work and responsibility as children of the sun?
Well, you know, my belief is that you start out with the small groups that you belong to. And with us, that would be the NAAEA. So we have to focus on us coming together and working collectively. And then the example that we set, similar to the Nation of Islam, when I was active in the nation, the nation set an example for black people in this country as to what collective work and responsibility can accomplish. And so I use that as my example, but also when you're starting from ground zero, you have to work with the small group of people that you are closest to that trust each other, because trust is a big factor in collective work and responsibility. And that's my response, brother. I hope I answered your question.
All right, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, brother. And it's so important that you talked about starting where you are, right? And the more that we can be that example that you mentioned, the more that we set the examples in the home, in the community, and in the schools. Remember, the model is individual, family, and community. And if we can change the mind and the mindset of the individual, to change the mind and the mindset of each individual, each child, right, and then look at developing the family system again, that family system then moves out into the community, we'll have it. All we have to do is to continue to do that work collectively together. So set the example, be the example, as Brother Booker says, be the one. All right, there's a great need for it. There's a desperate need for our help and our assistance and our communication and our collaboration. But stop complaining, right? Let's end the complaining today if we can, right? There's nothing wrong with griping every now and then, but let's get to work, right? And don't be discouraged, but be encouraged, because you have a life, you have a gift, you have a talent, you have an ability, you have something that you can do to help our people help themselves. And that's the work that needs to be done just one day at a time. So if you would commit, wherever you are listening to this, to start to say, I need to change the way I think about myself, the way I think about my community, and get to work, we could do it just one day at a time. 845-277-9250 is the call-in number. Thank you, Brother George. The Slido is in effect today, just in case you didn't know. It's 1-766-3928. Slido is in effect. I'd like to see you over there and give you some questions to Brother George, or some comments or some thoughts over there on that. But also, again, 845, if you want to call in and add to the dialogue, 277-9250, and I'll be listing these again later on as we go. Slido, once again, is in effect. It's live. Go out there, right? Get on your computer or your phone and go out there and put in slido.com, slido.com, and then put in this number, 1-7-6-3-9-2-8. 845-275-9928. Somebody just said, Marvin, you're going too fast on slow it down. 845-277-9250. Slido.com, slido.com, and then put in this number, 1763928, and then you'll have it. And then we can hear comments from you. And if you are the ones that don't like to talk on the line, that's cool. You can just type it in, click, 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 click. All right, it's ready. It's lecture time. We got Brother George today. Can I bring you in again, brother? I think I will, because that's how we do it. All right, here we go. Brother George, it's lecture time. The lecture today is coming from Brother George, The Sole Purpose of the Black Educational Prince. That's BEP, featuring Brother George. And it's the sole purpose, right? Black Educational Prince, but also the desperate need, our desperate need for these prints and why we need it so badly. Here we go. Brother George, bring you in, right? Oh, yeah. There we go. I got to do it. Hey, friend. Brother George is in the house. He's going to bring it right now. He ain't going nowhere. Bringing it live. Brother George, welcome to our online classroom. How are you today? Again, sir.
I'm doing fine, brother. Hopefully I can, you know, get the point across with why I decided to do what I've done, you know.
Hopefully.
But,
you?
I mean, I'm going to put my best effort forth.
All right, to our resident scholar. I'm going to turn it over to you, and we're looking forward to this one.
All right. Well, I thank you, Brother Marvin, for giving me the opportunity to share why I came up with Black Educational Prints in the first place and why I think that it's important that we have, you know, learning tools like this. It really started, my thought process started with doing this when I was listening to a lecture by a sister, and her name escapes me right now. It is, I'm very sorry. But she was speaking on her experience our children in the public school system. And she was having, you know, all kinds of issues with getting them to behave. And so she had just got her degree, and she was like a social psychiatrist. And she came in to try to resolve some of the issues. And she was based in California. So, she realized that a lot of the children appeared to be, you know, out of control. So she started doing her research. And in doing her research, she realized that this term that is an acronym, ACEs, that a lot of our young children had ACEs. And ACEs are adverse childhood experiences. And so she realized that until those adverse experiences were addressed, that she probably wasn't going to get anywhere with the children. So that led me to understand that because at the time I was working in Wickham Court with the ambassador program. And so I was always being observant of what was going on with our people living in poverty, because poverty can cause you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. And so I was observing, you know, the mothers like cursing their little children out, and I'm talking about little children that was like 2, 3, 4 years old. And I said, man, you know, like, that's a problem, you know, like, what do we do? You know, how do we do something about this? Because this is like a young mother that she didn't learn how to mother properly, and she's just doing the best that she can. So I'm not one to, like, throw stones at our people because of our people's condition, because they didn't ask for the condition that they were birthed into coming onto the planet. And so I said, well, I'm not a social psychiatrist, and I don't specialize in dealing with childhood adverse experiences with our children. So what is it that you can do? You know, because somewhere along the line, our people have to learn. Our self-esteem has to change, and our self-esteem within ourselves and our children has to be developed some type of way. That's why I read what I read from Dr. Juwanza Kanjufu's book, because he was relating to another adverse experience that our children don't know, that our culture is not. It's here in America, that our culture is the oldest culture in the world. And so they don't know that, though, because no one ever took the time to teach them that. So so I realized that the only way that I could, well, one of the key ways that I could change or help with the condition of our people and our young people is to figure out a way to teach by a picture, something that a person looks at and then they say, man, what is that? You know? And so, man, it says collective consciousness. Now, the general principle was collective consciousness. And then I added in the relationship between the different names of our people that we've been called throughout the centuries or thousands of years. And so a lot of us don't know that we're talking about the same people. When we talk about the Egyptians and the Carthaginians, that's just two different time frames, but we're talking about the same people. When you talk about the Moors in Spain and the Moorish Empire up and down the west coast of Africa and part of and the Iberian Peninsula in Europe, you're talking about the same people. And then you can go further back into ancient times where there was civilization on both continents, the Americas and Africa. And we don't know about that, but we're still the same people that they're talking about. So the concept of collective consciousness, I read that in Dr. Bridges' book, Recapturing the African Mind. But I have a working definition today that I would like to use to explain collective consciousness. Here they use the term group consciousness. Group consciousness is an adaptational tool. Group consciousness is necessary to the self-determination and autonomy of a group, and to maintaining it of a group consciousness. The degree to which the members of the group are loyal in values, committed to its survival and enhancement, and to the degree which the members are a group and can work together, defend the group against the negative intentions of others and achieve its aim depends on the degree to which its members are proudly aware of their membership in the group, are esteemed, identified by others and themselves as a member of that group, are revered of the group, embraced in high esteem, and are committed to enhancing its social status and power relative to other groups. Now, that's the working definition that I have for collective consciousness. And the collective consciousness in that will help with the ACE. The collective consciousness of our group, that when we care about each other and we take the time to help young mothers and young fathers to father their children and to mother their children, sometimes, like, someone doing the best that they could do is not really good enough. They don't have the resources, meaning the information, to do anything other than that. And so what needs to be done is the adult population of the African American or Black community has to take, especially those that have wisdom and knowledge of a teaching or of information that they have been self-taught, and they need to go out and share that with as many of our people that will allow them to share it with them. Because sometimes our people, they're not, they're going through a lot with their life. And so if you don't have a financial answer for them, some of our people don't want to hear what you got to say because they don't even understand that information and the way that you carry yourself and the way that you understand yourself as a human being leads to financial solutions. And so they don't know that. And so they're not trying to really be rude to you or to dismiss you. They just don't see the value in, like right now, my family is hungry. And so, and we need somewhere to live because we're staying with my cousin. So what you're talking about is well and good, Brother George, but that's not going to solve my problems for right now. And so you run into that, but you also run into people that are willing to hear you out and to use some of the techniques that you suggest for them to use. And in that way, you know, sometimes I spend my money on books, right? And people say, you know, I ain't buying them SHIT. And I say, okay, well, that's fine. You don't have to, you know. But I'll buy $100 worth of books. And then guess what? I live in a brand new house. I got two relatively new cars. Money just seems to show up when I need it. So I wonder how all that happened. You know, it's because of one of the things that's a part of our culture, which is what goes around comes around. Karma. The way that you do for other people, it's going to come back to you. So I don't worry about how much money I spend on giving a sister or a brother a DVD that they could look at, or handing them a book, excuse me, or handing them a book that their child can learn out of. I don't worry about that because I know it's going to come back. So from there, I'm really focused on, excuse me again, I'm really focused on our young people, our little children. And I'm focused on them learning how to think. And I'm focused on them acquiring a positive self-image or a higher self-esteem. Because that is one of the major issues with our young people. And that's why many of our young people are capable of taking each other's lives, because they don't feel like that life is worth anything. Like it's just another nick. So we don't have high self-esteem about ourselves. And there's a reason for that. I just spoke about issues of our learning. All of this, these issues that I speak about, enslavement period here in the United States. And what took place then was Willie Lynch, How to Make a Human Being into a Slave. And you make a human being into a slave, not physically, but mentally, where they believe that, or we believe that we were slaves. So they had to convince you of that. A lot of the things that we had accomplished before we came here, it's like a person that takes your place. Like they have taken over the accomplishments that you made to themselves. And so that's why right around the same time when the field of anthropology and archaeology actually first got started. And that's why you only have one country that's a ology. And they'll try to start late, you know, lately, since it's been said, you know, so much, that it's Egyptology. You don't hear any other Chinaology or Russiaology or Europeology. You only hear Egyptology. Because they were studying one of our highly technical civilizations, and they wanted to claim it for themselves. And so sometimes issues can get confused because the name Egypt is one of the names that's on the first black educational print that I made. And the Egyptians and the Ethiopians, which were really family. But a lot of the Egyptians, because it was close to the Mediterranean, the Arabs and the Asians, who didn't have high culture civilization, and some Europeans, they drifted there as drifters. And so they would just live on the outskirts of the big cities in Egypt. And so, because Egypt wasn't a city, Egypt was a country. And so at that time, many of us didn't know that they had citizenship papers. So you couldn't just walk into any huge Egyptian city and think you're going to take advantage of the benefits that's there if you weren't a citizen. So one of the ways that the Asians and the Arabs, the white Arabs, figured out was they could do it through marriage. They could do it by impregnating an African woman with their child. And then during that time, the son usually would be committed to his father. And so what they would do is, through their son that they made that were half-breed, they would learn a lot about our culture and what was going on. And then as they continued to marry and years went by, more and more of the population was half or three-quarters them, or they have blended themselves into the population. And so, like, that's a longer topic than I really want to talk about with Egypt today. However, because of that race mixing, the Ethiopians who were in Upper Egypt, because people think that Upper Egypt is near the Mediterranean and Lower Egypt is in the interior. No, it's the other way around. Now, some say that that's because actually the globe is flipped upside down, and that we're really, the Africa really is at the top of the globe and not at the bottom. But that's another top well, and there's some people that can speak on that and talk about those maps and make that a clear picture. But at any rate, in Upper Egypt, they didn't really, they had color issues. And so when you get the identifying of white in ancient Egyptian culture, they weren't talking about Europeans. They were talking about anyone that was really like light term, but they weren't talking about Europeans. So in the 16 and 1700s, the 15th century and the 16th century, when they were doing all this research and they seen the term white, they used it to proclaim that the Egyptians were white people. But nothing was further from the truth. And many of them knew it because the great Greek scholars that got their scholarship in Egypt, like Herodotus, who was called a father of history, he explained what the Egyptians looked like. Broad nose, thick lips, and woolly hair. And he said that. He wrote that in his account of his encounters with the Egyptians. And they called us Egyptians, but we called ourselves Kemetic. Kem, and Kem is one of the names that's on there as well. It's on the T-shirt. So, problem of colors, right? So, when they were able to write volumes of books, now there were other European writers that came in and actually wrote the truth of what they found, and through interviewing the people, they found out the truth, and that's what they wrote. But there were other ones that was getting paid by the rich whites that wanted to proclaim that they did what the black African Egyptian culture did. Now, when I bring in the term thinking, the idea of having the ability to think. See, I'm going to give you an example of what I mean by thinking, because thinking is a process where you put things together piece by piece. Now, you have a such thing in algebra called the quadratic equation. The quadratic equation is to find a point. And so what you're given, you got to be given a certain amount of information in order to work that quadratic equation. So what you do is you're giving the information, and then you plug those numbers in where they belong, and then you work the equation, and you come out with your point. In other words, you'll come out with your end result. It's the same way with thinking. You need more truthful and exact information in order for you to come to the conclusion of what is true. And so what they did was they flooded the book industry with a lot of books that they wrote, especially they'll print a bunch of copies of a book that they know got a bunch of inaccurate information that gives them credit for doing things that they didn't do. So that's the problem with us being taught our history through other racial groups. Because it's not just the European that tried to say that they did things that we did. That's another misnomer and that we say and we think it's just them. No. It's a lot of the other groups on this planet that feel like they did things that they feel like that they could take things that they know was ours and they say that they did. Now, I give you an example of what I'm talking about. I was waiting on the bus one day, and I seen a young brother that was going to VCU at the time. But I wasn't that old myself. I probably was about 27 or something like that. But he was younger than me, and he was at VCU. So we started a conversation. And so at that time, you know, I felt like, well, let me just try to educate, you know, because we got into talking black history and culture and stuff like that, right? So I told him, you know, I said, like, just like they teach in the school, that Sir Isaac Newton came up with the theory of gravity. But that's not true. So this is what I read. But in Western textbooks, do not tell us hundreds of years before Columbus was born, the Moors were using globes to teach geography in their schools. Neither do they tell us that around the middle of the 12th century, a Moorish scientist named Al-Idris wrote a book on geography in which he stated, the world is round as a sphere, of which the waters are adherent and maintained upon its surface by natural equilibrium. It is surrounded by air, and all created bodies are stable on its surfaces. The earth draws to itself all that is heavy in the same way that a magnet attracts iron. Now, this was a brother, right? Supposed to be educated. And here's a black man that wrote a book 500 years before Sir Isaac Newton was even born, right? And he told me, he said, oh, that's because Isaac Newton worked it out mathematically to prove it. Now, I'm saying, like, wait a minute, brother. We're the mathematicians of the world. It's no European that could have known more about the mathematics of the earth than one of the Moorish brothers. Al Khwarizmi wrote a book on algebra, and he too was a Moorish scientist. He's a Moorish mathematician. He didn't know before Sir Isaac Newton. What our people do is our people get misinformation, and then they carry it to our young people and teach them that this is what's correct. This is why they say Sir Isaac Newton. No, that wasn't why. He simply read a lot of books, and he might have become a geographer himself. I'm not saying he wasn't a geographer, but he didn't come up with that theory that he's given credit for, and that our children are taught in the school system that that's who did it. And it was one of their own people who did it. So that brings me to a point. I want to read another quote before I go to Green Say, because my time is just about up. This is a statement in a book called The Story of the Moors in Spain. Story of the Moors in Spain. The decline and fall of the Moorish Empire was a great setback to modern civilization. Had this great African culture been able to survive, the world would have been 500 years more advanced than it is today. The story of the Moors in Spain is a chronicle of splendor and tragedy, and no one has told the story better than Stanley Lane Poole. That's a white man. All serious students of history should read this book. It is of special value to the students of African history, who should be glad that this historical classic is now back in print. Now, I was saying something about thinking earlier. Did these things in the 10th, the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th century. By the 14th century, we was in change here in America. So now if you're thinking right, and these people want to take credit for what you did, then what are they going to do? They're going to make sure you don't read. They're going to make sure you don't write. They're going to make sure that you don't have a desire to educate yourself. That's what Willie Lynch was about. That's what it was for. To pit us against ourselves and create an image of ourselves of being a nothing, of being a chattel, of being just another dumb nigga. And so that's what it was for, because they didn't want us to know these things that's on the black educational print. And that's the problem with us being taught by other racial groups about our history, because they have a vested interest in not fully teaching it completely true, because they're going to take the parts out that they feel like belong to their people. You have history books, Western civilization books, right? And just about every single one of them, when I was going to school, started out in Egypt and Greece. And guess what? They surpassed all of that time period because they don't want to discuss the fact that the Egyptians were black people, and that they don't really have a proof to substantiate what's being said in the textbook. So they don't get into a discussion with it, because they get into all kinds of arguments in the classroom of young students whose parents have taught them better, and they come in there with their proof and make the instructor look like a dummy, like he, you know. And so they didn't want to deal with that anymore, so they don't even teach those chapters in the book anymore. They start out further along. They start out with 1492. So, Brother Marvin, I know that some might have thought I was going to talk about all the different groups that are listed on the T, but I'll talk about that at another time, because today I wanted to talk about the significance of why I felt like we need to do some things like that. So, Brother, you know, I'm turning it back over to you. It's 3 o'clock, I believe. And so,
all right.
Turning it back over to you.
Brother George,
thank
fine
you.
Job, fine job. Excellent job.
Well, thank you, brother.
Job. And you
thank
know, if you really go out and look at this black educational print, right, that says that basically we have a collective consciousness and we're all the same people. So before we get to the lines, before we get to Slido, can you kind of dive a little bit into the meaning of we're all the same people as it relates to this black educational collective consciousness T-shirt?
Well, we're all the same people is that by DNA, that's what determines who your ancestors are. And so the people that we're talking about that are like Egyptians, that are Carthaginians, that are Ethiopians, that are Moors, all of those, the Olmecs, the Moors here in the Americas, Aboriginals here in the Americas, because like when they talk about the Native American, when you go back and look at the actual definitions that are written in the official documents of the United States, they describe the Native American to look a lot like the Negro. And the reason why is because that's who it was. They just change names, they change the status so that they don't have to honor certain treaties that were made between groups. And so the Moorish Empire was still a functioning empire at the time that even after we had been defeated in Spain and Portugal and Iberia, the Moorish Empire was still functioning, because the whole Moorish Empire was not just Songhai. There were other parts of the Moorish Empire, and sometimes they would war with each other. So that's not like a one-continent thing where we never had wars with each other, because that's not true. And Dr. Bridges had mentioned that to me a few weeks ago, that we also need to take into account, you know, like what the issues were before we came into the slave process. You know, that we had issues as a people, and we need to deal with them and not run from that idea and make us look like we were this perfect people when, no, we weren't. You know, no, we weren't. But we still wasn't destroyers of culture and destroyers of civilizations like the European. We weren't that neat, you know. So that's what's meant by we're the same people, brother, because we are the same people. You know, we got
wow.
on ships and sailed across the ocean, but that don't make you different. 'Cause you know, just like Malcolm said, if a cat have kittens in an oven, that don't make them biscuits. You know? So just because we was born in
That's
America,
true.
That don't make us not African or not more. You see? So that's what was meant by that, bro.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. You took it back to the DNA. All right. You share DNA with your ancestors. And if you could track your DNA
yes,
ancestry, then you will know who you are. And it's just that simple.
Yep.
So if you're interested, go out and get a black educational print T-shirt. Share with your relatives, particularly young people, right? And do your research. And you can always collaborate with us if you need more options or opportunities for research. We can help you do that as well. 845-277-9250. You're listening live to African American Empowerment Saturday, a great show today. We're talking about the sole purpose of Black Educational Prince with Brother George, and we're going to go to the lines. Then we'll kind of go back and forth with Slido, if you don't mind, Brother George. Again, Slido is in effect. It's looking good out there. What'd you say, brother?
All right. No problem.
Slido is 1-763-928 if you want to get out there. It's looking good out there for you, Brother George. All right, let's go over to 206-9619. 206 is the area code. Last four is 9619. Do you have a question, a comment, or a statement about this brother's lecture today on the Empowerment Saturday show? Welcome to the show. Are you there?
Yes. Thank you so very, very much. Great show it is, too. And greetings to you and Brother George.
Greetings, brother.
It's just overwhelming. When you're talking about you talked about our mental capacity and our physicality. That's what Malik El-Haji Shabazz talked about when he said we are free physically, but we're not free mentally. And
okay. The
National Institute of Mental Health states that the number one reason for Black people being mentally and emotionally disturbed is cultural disorganization. I love the way you tied that into it. And you also tied it into Dr. Bridges' book, Recapturing the African Mind. Our history has been erased. Thank you so much for being someone who helps wake us up as a guidepost, as an educator. Not just you, Brother George, but this show in particular. We know that there is a school-to-prison pipeline. And
yes, sir.
We know that we are not just malnourished physically, but when you talked about the control of our education, we are malnourished educationally as well. When we are unhealthy physically, it's going to impact us mentally. When you spoke about the young lady who was cursing at her children, if you look at children when they're playing with their dolls, they do the same thing. We're going to pass on what we learn, whether consciously, subconsciously, and even our genetic memory. Dr. Gabor Maté says that our state of physical and mental being is connected to our grandparents and the state of health that they are in. Being healthy is key, and thank you so much for hitting on that process, because we are polluted in our diet. We have Eurocentric diets. We have become very anemic because we are following the dominant culture. From 30% of our iron used to come from cast iron cookware. Now we're using Teflon, Pyrex, stainless steel, and things that are depriving us more of these nutrients. And it is in our food, and it starts at birth with the WIC program targeting our babies with this chemical formula that is not a substitute for breast milk.
Right.
Thank you so much for this show is healthy. This is what sometimes we don't want to wake up when someone brings us a truth, because we're addicted to the colonial thinking. We have to break through our colonial language, our attachment in a parasitic way to the dominant culture. It's like we have to do this to prove ourselves. When you were talking about what are we doing to our hair, why are we bleaching our skin, the number one cosmetic surgery for us is rhinoplasty. We're ashamed of our noses, our physical characteristics. And like Malik El-Haji Shabazz said, who taught us to do this? If our parents are doing this so that we could survive sometimes, we need to be able to separate that. You know, when we're not allowed to go into a place unless we have processed hair or hair that has been with our sisters using chemicals to straighten and process their hair that are causing cancer. And if cancer in the uterus, that means that cancer is passing through the brain, through the eyes, the heart, lungs, liver, kidneys, you know, and heaven forbid if she's pregnant. We have to holding a baby up to that hair that is inhaling that and absorbing it through the skin.
Right.
this program is. Let me stop running my mouth because I am constipated with issues, questions, and statements. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, Marvin needs to contact you so you can get on here and tell us some more.
Absolutely. Where are you calling from, brother?
The 206, the Pacific Northwest. Dr. Bridges hooked me up to this program.
Okay.
Dr. Bridges, thank you, brother. We'll definitely be in contact with you. Loving what you're doing and out there, and I'm sure you're near Seattle somewhere, I'm sure. Thank you so much for calling and spread the word, right? Because we're trying to go
like
around
said,
the country and around the world.
The collective,
spreading the
collective
word.
Consciousness. That's not a responsibility.
Yes,
it's an obligation.
Yeah,
right.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Love. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, can I give you a tip? Let me drop a health tip on you before I go.
Absolutely.
Iron and sweet wormwood kills cancer. Cancer cannot exist in an oxygenated environment or an alkaline environment, and that's through our diet and breathing through our noses. Because we breathe through our inhale through our mouth, we're getting that acid and stuff, and disease is sustained in an acidic environment. Breathing through your nose helps alkaline us. Let me go, brother, because I could do this all day. Thank you so very much.
Before you go, repeat it one more time, please, from the top.
What's that?
What?
Breathing
cancer.
It
in. The who?
What it is
that
can you repeat?
Cancer or prevents
cancer? Say it, yes,
oh,
that's
iron,
it right there.
Iron and sweet wormwood. Not the regular wormwood, sweet wormwood. Kills cancer.
All right, there you go.
And it's very inexpensive.
Kills cancer.
It's, yeah, it's, but it needs to be a holistic approach. But just look it up. Check it out, iron and sweet wormwood kills cancer.
All right. We need to get back with you, brother. We like what you're doing. Let's talk. All right.
Thank you so very,
appreciate
very much.
That.
Peace
all right. Thank you, brother.
Brother.
Peace and love.
Peace.
All right. 845-277-9250. Slido again is 176-3928. Brother George, what do you think about that? That brother was laying it down. This is a great, great learning environment.
Yeah, you ain't lying. He was right on it. He was educated. And I appreciate that, man.
He's
I appreciate that. Got to try to get in contact with him and have more in the show.
Absolutely. I got the number. All right. So let's go to Slido for a minute, and we'll start there. The first question is, we need to address ACEs. African Americans need more trauma training. What are your thoughts on that, Brother George?
That's absolutely right, man. I was thinking about this when I was on my way to, on my way before we did the show, that many of us experienced ACEs ourselves, and we didn't look at it as ACEs back then. We looked at it as being disciplined, but actually it was an ACE, and so our community is like dysfunctional, and it's dysfunctional because we make a lot of things normal that's abnormal. And just because we say, oh yeah, I understand, yeah, my father, once a friend of mine, man, told me that one of our friends took his son and took him in the room and told him, to strip down completely naked. And then he whipped. That's like slavery. That's like slavery. And probably his father or his grandfather did that too, like it's like things that are passed on. And sometimes our children, they get so disappointed with us doing that to them. I didn't treat my children like that. That they will, they don't want to communicate with you no more. They don't want to, they don't even want to be a part of what you talking about no more. And see, you want to have a healthy conversation now, you know, with a son or a daughter, and they like, you disgraced me. You know, I felt disgraced, you know, and you can't fix that. You can't fix that picture that's in my mind of being naked and whipped, you know, like a slave, you know. That's aces, man, and we definitely need to work with that. You know, we need, our people need reparation, and we
Absolutely.
Need the freedom to open up institutions that address our specific problems.
Absolutely.
Our specific problems. Because as long as they can keep us thinking that abnormal is normal, they can keep filling the jails with our young men. Because one is in the cemetery and the other one is in the system working for nothing.
Mm.
And just like that police officer said, it doesn't matter how much you cry, doesn't matter how much you realize what you did was wrong. You're doing that life sentence now. You're there for life. That's it. And our children don't understand that, man. They don't understand, you know, the real world. And it's because that's our fault. That's our fault
mm-hmm.
because we haven't taught them how to think. And we haven't taught them to have high self-esteem. And so one or two people might say, yes, I did. I'm talking about us as a group of people. I'm not talking about your one individual case. If you got your children without being in the system and all that, I applaud you for that, you know. But our overall people have issues in that area of poverty, and an impoverished
yes.
mind as well as an impoverished body. So let me let you move on, brother.
All right. You're absolutely right, and that's so true. So true. Slide over for a minute. I'll give you two, and then we'll go over to the lines again. We face mental health issues. Many of our people suffer from PTSD, and we need help. Government should assist us with direct resources. So that's right along the lines of what you talked about just now. So absolutely true. We're in agreement with that. And I think, again, when you have agendas, and that's what we're talking about with the peace concept, we have to have agendas that address our needs specifically and collectively. If we do that, it makes a difference, right? That's the collective consciousness
right.
again. And we have to be able to ensure that we are putting agendas in place, like what you talked about with reparations, right? To be able to create those institutions that define our own reality, that fit us, that help us to heal, right? But also to grow economically,
right.
for example, as well. Here's the next question, and I'll give it back to you, Brother George. This is a great subject, Brother George, African-American self-esteem. And we need to talk more about that, right? Next, I'll give you three
right.
then. Here's the question. And you can talk to all three of them. Are the Egyptians the ancestors of African-Americans? Take all three of those and
yes.
run with it, and then we'll go back to the lines.
Yes. See, I think sometimes people think in terms of, did we come directly from Egypt? No. Most of us came from the west coast of Africa. But you have to get the proper information to know that there were great migrations of our people that moved from one side of Africa to the other. And the Egyptians, in their struggles with the Ethiopians, and this is in Destruction of Black Civilization, in our struggles, we moved across to what they call the Maghreb, which is North Africa. The northern part of Africa is the Maghreb. And all of the peoples that lived on the Maghreb are more. And they're related to the African American. And so, yes. And if you can prove me wrong, then, like Dr. Ali said, if you can prove me wrong, then I'm going to start going with the theory that you show me otherwise that what I said was wrong. But yes, that's my answer.
All right.
And so you asked
gotta get
about
one more
also
in.
About. Go ahead.
Yeah. It says we're all the same people.
Me?
Yep.
Yeah, we are. We are all the same people. Like when you talk about let's take for example a place that many of us is more familiar with in Africa is Europe. Now, in Europe, a lot of the countries that used to be called something else, they're called something else now. But they're the same people. They're the same people. I had one of the countries in my head, but they changed the names of places, and also in the in West Asia, they have changed a lot of the names of the places. Pakistan at one time did not exist. It was all India. And right after the revolution with Gandhi, a part of solving the problem was that a large population of India had become Muslim. And so all those that became Muslim, they called Pakistan. And so you had Pakistan on one side, which was East Pakistan, and then West Pakistan, because the Muslim populations were on the outskirts of India itself. And then the people who lived in India were Hindu. And so, but at one time, it was all India. All right, so the Pakistanis and the Indians are the exact same people. That was the point I was trying to make as an example.
Great point, brother. Great point. Let's go to the lines. Let's visit with Dr. Lush. Dr. Lush, are you there?
One of these days I'll be a doctor. Good afternoon, y'all. And thank you so very much, Brother George, for your presentation, sir. The question that I have for you is, one of the words you mentioned in your presentation was the word think or thinking.
Right.
In this process of critical thinking, we have questions such as who, what, when, where, why, how, and for what.
Yes, sir.
Therefore,
yes, sir.
One thing that I'd like to ask is, of all of this, by whose standards that we should operate ourselves by in order for us to come into an awareness and to a thinking of who we are as a people? Who is that, or what is that, or where are those standards by which we should be operating?
Okay, I can answer that question best through my own experience.
Okay.
I was attracted to the Nation of Islam because everything about the nation was black. Everything about the nation was black. God was black. The religion is black. The struggle for the people is black. Everything is black. And Dr. Amos Wilson said, he said, I don't care even if some of the things that you believe is wrong. It's better to believe it to be black than to believe a lie about something that's another culture that ain't even relative to you. So even if it's some things that you're saying that ain't quite right, it's still better to go on your own foundational base for thinking and for operating in the world. So that's the best answer I can give. We can teach our children how to think.
And then, well, with that said, then one other quick question: can we really truly say that consequences that we have or that we make or we come into fit the choices that we've been making at all? So do the consequences and choices match one-on-one or one-for-one with each other? Or are some choices made in our learning process that doesn't have anything to do with what it is that we're doing. And we get a whole bunch of different kinds and types of consequences that, you know, really doesn't make sense.
Right. I'll answer that the best that I can. I believe that the consequences that we suffer as a people are primarily from using a Eurocentric base for our thinking and problem solving. And I think that that's what leads to many of the issues and the consequences that we end up with. And I firmly believe that. And I think that if we were to use, like, when you start studying our ancient history and you see all of the different cultural resources that were there, like the 42 laws of Maat, they were there for people to make decisions with. That was decision-making material.
Okay.
You see, I have not killed. I have not stole. Even though it says that I have not, meaning that you haven't done it yet, it was still a decision-making that was building in your subconscious information that this is wrong, this is right. Here's your foundation. So now you come to a point where you have to address an issue that might not be exactly in those 42 laws, right? But you can combine two maybe and come up with an answer.
Thank you very much, Brother George. Keep on keeping on, brother. Still listening and
Thank
learning.
You. Thank
All
you,
right.
brother. I'm learning
Thank
from you.
You
as well. You know it.
Thank you, Brother Lush. Brother George, I'm going to see if I could bring my West Coast brother back in. 9619, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. What are your thoughts on the conversation that you just heard? Anything you want to add to that? Any takeaway?
No, it was solid. You know, when he was talking about the Eurocentricity, it's what we have to go through is a form of exorcism for that, because that is pure evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
you know, and we're addicted to it, like we are cigarettes or any other bad habit that has become part of a subculture. Behavior that we exhibit. The mere fact that we are discussing it, the vibrational tones, is helping to heal us. This is a frequency that when you're on the air like this, it's called program. And it's programming us. But in our case, with this program, it's deprogramming us from that Eurocentric programming that's in the media. Social and otherwise. We'll go through withdrawal. Some of us will be strong enough to sustain that withdrawal and recover.
Mm-hmm.
But we are constantly bombarded with it. That's what makes it so hard.
Mm.
It has permeated every part of our existence. And we get rewarded for showing it.
Right.
For not showing our culture. So we do it for acceptance, like some child to a parent.
Right.
And I'm not trying to focus it as a blame, because you keep talking about Willie Lynch, and this stuff has been, I don't want to make him a prophet or anything, but just the school, what do they teach children in school? A pledge your allegiance to a flag with pentagrams on it.
Right.
Bathed in blood. Yeah. Devalue yourself. With justice and liberty for all, which creates that schizophrenia, because you know it's not true. That's what Du Bois called that two-ness. He spoke about that schizophrenia. So when we're talking about the dominant culture and our culture, it puts us in a state of conflict, which creates an overload of cortisol, the stress hormone.
Mm-hmm.
And when women have that stress hormone, it creates IUGRs, intrauterine growth restrictions, making the baby smaller. And that's the number one cause of infant fatalities, is low infant birth weight. That's us. Dr. Henry Brand in New York in the United Nations, he has a product called Plumpy Nut, P-L-U-M-P-Y-N-U-T. It's like a peanut butter. It puts 2 to 3 pounds on newborns every week.
Mm.
How come WIC isn't pushing that?
Mm.
That's what I think about it. And thank you, Brother George, because that's what this whole program and this show and other shows that you do is about, deprogramming us. We need
thank
to get
you,
to the reprogramming. And that's what Dr.
That's right.
Bridges has in his book, The Recapturing of the African Mind. Because
right.
they go together. If we take something away, something has to be replaced.
Right.
That's right.
And that has become a false security blanket for us. Oh, I can speak English almost like the dominant culture.
Okay.
I live
yeah.
with the dominant culture. No, this here and what you brothers are doing, that's what we need. Thank you.
All right.
Thank,
thank you, brother.
Thank you, bro.
Wow. Great job. We'll definitely hook up. Thank you, sir. Man, Brother Josh, we're running out of time. This is a great, great, great show. All right. I'm gonna do one more slide up.
All right.
Can we reestablish collaboration? Despite being segregated, we managed to work effectively together. What are your thoughts on that? As we wrap up for today.
Well, my thoughts on that, sometimes you have hard answers, and it's going to come a time where, like, some of our people just ain't going to collaborate with you in this country because they've been, like the brother said, brainwashed into basically thinking that they're like honorary whites or something. And so they are not going to do the kind of things that you want to do. You know, I would like to put a thought in our people's minds. Suppose we put together the best black contractors in this country and architects and let them build a house complex. Man, that housing complex would be so sharp, man. The white folks be running in there trying to get them ideas. But we got that creative mind, man. We could do that, you know, but just wanted to throw that out.
You know, we took a tour over at Virginia Union University, HBCU, and they are
yeah.
developing their STEM programs. And so we have these young people. I met a physics major who's going to work for a major corporation. But, again,
right.
we have to be able to have space and place for our young people, right, where they're working to invest and reinvest in our communities. And build in our community. So I'm going to give you the final words. What are your last thoughts as we close out today? Great lecture, great topic, brother. We need more of this. It's on you. Final comments, quotes.
Well, my final comments are thank you, brother. You know, thank you for putting me on the spot to do this. And I thank all of the people who commented. You know, called in, commented, and sent your slidos in, you know, because y'all are supporting them. But each one, you know, continue to teach one, and each one tell somebody about the show so that the listening audience grows, you know, and we can accomplish the kind of things that we have in our minds to accomplish. And buy you a black educational print.
All right. There it is. Go out to our website, www.naea.info, and go to our product pages right there. Just click on it and put your, you know, card in or whatever and get your shirt. In the meantime, let's think about this. Let's disrupt the systems, right? Let's disrupt the programs, right? Let's disrupt the school-to-prison pipeline and continue to do that work of working on ourselves today. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're coming. Peace.